With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Video Games to the Max. I am your host, Sean Garman, here with me, as always, Mr. Mark Morrison.
Howdy.
And this is episode 187 of the show, and we are getting closer and closer to E3, a little less than a month away now. And, God, of course...
God help us all.
Yeah, God help us all. It's also, when that ends, the World Cup starts, so I just get to go from one thing to another, which is both cool and terrifying at the same time.
Non-stop podcasting.
Yeah, non-stop podcasting, basically. Hey, congrats to us. We did something where we actually, you know, kept it going for a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, of course...
The first and last time.
Hey, don't say that. It might happen next week, too. Of course, we'll be talking about quite a few things involving E3 leaks. And, of course, one involves a very huge franchise that everybody is ready to hear more about. Another that people finally got... some playtime with, and some new stuff has come out of that. We'll talk about that as well, but just need to get this out of the way. This is, of course, the official video games podcast at W2Mnet.com, and we are in partnership with 4Mania.com and Last Word on Life as well. And, well, before we get into the big news that's been going on, anything that you have been playing?
I'm still trying to plow through God of War, like the trophy system. Like, the map in that game is terrible, because it doesn't mark anything for you.
Yeah, well, that sucks.
So, it's like, there are 20 ravens in this zone. I'm not going to tell you where they are. It's like, thanks. So I'm having to rely on, like, YouTube videos for, like, specific areas to go, okay, this is where I need to go for this thing.
Well, but then you got the people that complain that, like, oh, finding all the... this and that is too easy or whatever, so...
I mean, it's already... I mean, with these guys, it's already easy. Like, what is it? It would just save me the time of going, like, watching these YouTube videos.
Well, it's true, but I guess...
I mean, I guess another option would just be... you could have a menu option that says, like, on or off.
That's true, too. They could do that.
The only other thing I've been playing is Dragon Crowns Pro some more with that.
Anything new on that? Just, I'm surprised you're still going through it.
Well, I'm still trying to work out a time to play with my friend. We were going to play, I want to say, last Thursday. And he was like, okay, go in this area. And when it says network, you know, look for me and I'll be there. And I was like, okay, I'm in the area, but it doesn't say network. and we were kind of arguing for a few minutes, and then I joined his game as just like a viewer, and it said network, and I was like, huh, doesn't have that on my game. And we discovered that you have to be at a certain story point in the game to access like the online functionality, which is really fucking stupid.
That is really dumb.
You have to like get to like the 9th or 10th stage, and then it's like, okay, here's like the actual game. It's like they could have ironed this out a little better.
That's just nuts.
Yeah. So I'm hoping to play with him soon. And I still think it's passable. Like, it's not it's not my type of game, really. I mean,
yeah.
Like, the combat's fine. It's just, I don't like to design much, and I think it's just too busy for me.
Understandable. Understandable on that end. I do have a game. Go ahead.
No, I did buy one season already of Pinball Arcade, season 4.
Well, that's good. So what tables, can any of them noteworthy to people? Or?
Adam's Family. That's the big one, probably.
Yeah.
What else? Starship Troopers, which is one of my favorite tables. And then a bunch of other crap. There's one called... there's two, actually. Well, one is called Red and Ted's Red Roadshow, which I really like. Because it's a table that features, like, talking dummy heads, which was one of my favorites. it has Jackbot, which is a sequel to Pinbot and Machine Bot of Pinbot. And it's funny that Jackbot came out later than Machine Bot of Pinbot, because that game sucks ass. Jackbot is terrible. It's like this weird casino-themed, like, what is going on with this game? And the last one is Safecracker, which is like a really weird table.
Well, interesting. You got a mixed bag there.
Yeah.
So still working on the other ones they got before they get taken off, I guess.
Yeah, I'm trying to gather some money.
Well, best of luck.
I may actually try to start selling games to like raise the funds, or like DVDs or whatever, because might as well.
Yeah, because then you get to have those and you can play whenever you want. You know?
Yeah. And... also, like, I bought the season pass or the season off PSN, and it didn't download anything. I had to like go on the fucking menu and start and individually download these tables.
And I'm just that's annoying.
What? Who thought of this? Like, why couldn't you just say download whatever I have or download new tables?
Yeah, or download like all like, or something.
I'm having me to scroll through this menu that updates like very slowly on PSN because there's like 4 individual packs for like each table has like 4 items listed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you couldn't like figure this out years ago.
I guess not. But yeah. That's weird that they have not updated that just to say, oh, download all button. Okay. Yeah.
I think if I like deleted it and then re-downloaded it, maybe. But like whenever I added a table to download, it would like say, "Oh, you purchased it." So I don't think that would actually worked because it looked like I was like buying each individual table for free, and it's like this is terrible. It's like Rock Band 4 levels of incompetence.
Hey now,
that got better at least.
Yes, it did. Even though it's starting to show some cracks again. I don't know if this month they just decided to, like, take off on... they said this month was the anniversary month. We're going through and letting you enjoy old songs that you can now buy separately. And I'm like, all right, as long as it's a one-month thing and not all of a sudden DLC is starting to go away again, because that means the game is just dying. But, I mean... I don't know how much longer they thought that was going to go on, because it's just, there's only so much you can add to it, and, you know, I get people like getting 2 songs a week and downloading their songs and playing, but even I've gotten to the point where I'm just like, I don't really care anymore, so, yeah. I don't know.
So what are you playing?
I do have the Little Witch Academia Chamber in Time game, but I've been... wanting to get through the anime first before I play the game, so I'm like halfway through that.
You need the groundwork to establish the rules of the game.
Yeah, exactly. So it's only like a 25 episode thing, so it's not. I should probably finish it by the middle of the week or something like that.
It's funny. I talked to Adam and I made the joke that I was going to take Mega Man 1 and 2 for Switch, the collections, but I would have just got angry about it. And then he offered me Banner Saga 1, and I'm like, I'm good, thanks.
They're giving that out? Like,
yeah.
Codes for that still?
It's like,
or is he just had?
It might have just been one he had, I'm not quite sure, but like, if you wanted me to review it, like my review would have been like, it's the same game I reviewed 3 years ago. It runs better. Right.
Not much has changed on that end.
I mean, it's on a crappy portable system, like portable system, but a good game system. So there you go.
Right. So next week I should probably actually have thoughts on the game itself. But that's kind of it. I finished all of Dragon Ball Super, which was really, really good. I enjoyed it. And then I'm like almost done with GT. So then I'll be done with everything Dragon Ball.
And then you got to watch all the movies.
Well, I watched all the movies in sequence while they were going on throughout the series. So I got those knocked out already. Well, the closest that somebody on Reddit could figure out that they go in sequence, because they really don't.
Yeah, so. they're just kind of shoehorned in, or not even, because they don't tie into the show at all.
Yeah. So
just like GT.
just like GT, even though it is interesting. I totally get why some people don't like it. But, I mean, it's really built around, like, two big villains, and that's where the big fights happen. The rest of the fights aren't, I think, meant to be, like, a big deal. And I appreciate that they didn't, like, make it 100-something episodes long for no reason. So, you know, sometimes if there's one thing about DBZ, it's really bloated. And a lot of that can, I'm just kind of like, all right, we didn't need this episode or that episode, but whatever.
Hey, man, Gohan had to rescue those kids that were left on the island without parents.
Yeah, of course, you know, that had to happen. Getting on with other things here with the news, and if we're going to talk about E3 leaks, one of the biggest ones that is going on right now, it's still kind of, it looks like it's been almost uncaved.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Also, to the fact that it's probably not going to get, it's going to get revealed before the Nintendo Direct as well, but we'll see if it does or doesn't. But the Pokemon Switch has been all in the news between the last week and a half about what is it, what's it going to be called. I don't know specifically if, you know, the latest leak says something and then you listen to other people and they think it's something else, so we'll see. But here's the what's gone down since the last time we did a podcast. So Emily Rogers posted that the Pokemon Switch game was going to be called Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee, and they were two separate games. And then basically that was revealed in a 4chan post later, and that they would be remakes of Pokemon Yellow, but you're getting two games instead of one, with Pikachu, of course, being the starter and Eevee being the other starter, which kind of works in the they're both cute. And, you know, Eevee also has the zero, you know, at this point, I think it has like about 20 different evolutions of Eevee that's out there. The whole point was that they wanted to start everybody at Kanto, and it makes sense because it's the region that everybody recognizes. And the problem is, I think what came about later, started getting people really upset, was that they will tie in Pokemon Go into this game by having you catch Pokemon the same way you catch Pokemon in Pokemon Go, with motion controls and with the touchscreen, depending on what way you're playing it. There's also supposed to be some kind of accessory, just like the Pokemon Go thing that came out. It came out a while after the game came out on mobile.
Are they going to include the Pokewalker?
I have no idea, but the Poke Ride thing from Sun and Moon's also going to be in it. There's also hints at the fact that Nintendo's kind of been basically leading you along with this, because Pikachu and Eevee have been paired together with so many different like clothing lines and different things this year that it also makes sense. But the big deal is people still can't figure out if this is going to be a straight remake of Yellow or if this is going to be a side game and it's going to have nothing to do with the main games at all. And the more and more time goes on, that's leading people to believe it's a side game, which is making people even more angry, because Nintendo promised that this was going to be a mainline game in their announcement, and then could decide that it's not going to be. So, you know.
I refuse to buy either until they make a coughing edition.
Coughing?
Yeah. Coughing or Manape, either one is fine for me.
You know what? If you get to play as James of Team Rocket, I'm all for that. Like,
I imagine this is like a side story thing. Like, it'll probably be as fully featured as like a main game, I would assume, just with some stupid motion controls or whatever. But this all sounds kind of weird.
Yeah, I mean, the motion control thing doesn't sound too weird to me, because Nintendo always likes to have something that sets it apart from, you know, go ahead.
I mean, you have a Switch and so do I. Do you ever take it out, like, portably?
I do. I play it portable. If I'm going to go downstairs, or play on my bed, or...
I'm talking, like, go outside your house. Like, you know,
no,
just walking down the street with your Switch, or going to like, oh, I'm going to go to McDonald's real quick and eat there. But while I'm there, I might as well bust out my Switch. Like, I don't see.
No,
I see no one doing that.
Maybe in Japan they do, but I don't like, I mean, unless I'm going to go to a friend's house, I'm not taking my Switch with me anywhere, because I'm more worried about somebody deciding, oh, let me try to steal it or whatever, you know,
or getting damaged or something. And also, like, the difference between, like, the Switch and Pokemon Go is, like, you always have, like, most people always have their phone on them.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to just, you know, load up the app and go, oh, here's, you know, Meowth or something, like, at the corner. Like, it's not, that's fine. But carrying, like, another device, like a bulky device when you really think about it, to, you know.
Well, I mean, undocked, you'd be using the touchscreen. When you're docked, you'd be using the Pro Controller or the Joy-Cons and using the motion controls that way.
So, well, here's the other problem. What network are you connecting to?
Well, the Nintendo network, right?
No. That thing doesn't have a cell phone service built in, so you don't have access to, like, an always-on network. Like, the minute you get 50 feet off, you know, away from my house, it's going to be offline.
Right, but I think the point is it's not going to be built like Pokemon Go where you need that
internet connection.
Yeah.
I still think like that idea is just really wonky.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, because this is a huge title for them. They're not going to let this come out without it working well. But yeah. I don't know. As long as there's an option, as long as it's something like Super Mario Odyssey where it's optional, I think that alleviates a lot of people's fears. But if it's something that's required and it doesn't work as well as, you know, you'd think it would, that's going to create a problem for people. I think the people that are getting really upset and being like, oh my God, I don't want to buy this game, and oh, this is going to ruin it and everything else. I mean, we got to remember it's Nintendo. They somehow make these things work sometimes, even when we don't think they're going to. So I'm going to wait until it's out there and someone has played it. But that also really makes me think that the rate that they're going with this, there's no way it's coming out this year. It's a 2019 game. And yeah, we'll just get the announcement at some point and we'll go from there.
Yeah.
But does it intrigue you at all? Like, to say, I mean, if it's a straight remake of Yellow, I'm excited because Yellow was one of my favorites. If it's a side story thing,
I mean, I couldn't honestly tell them apart. So, I think, isn't Yellow the one that has Pikachu following you around all the time?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
And the storyline's a little different, I think. And it will also, you're going to have a different character. And Red and Blue are going to be your rivals in this game. So there's something to that for the people that are huge Pokemon fans from back in the day. But
nerds.
Yeah. Yeah, I know Stephanie was saying something about, I think this might anger people that really like to do the breeding and hatching stuff with Eevee, because usually the starters are really hard to get. But hey, this is why Pokemon Bank exists, right? For situations like this, where you can just go in your Pokemon Bank and get a million EVs and put them all into the game, and let's see if that transfers over, because it may not either. But maybe something that you might care a little bit more about, Kingdom Hearts 3. People have actually
You'd be
started,
wrong.
Kingdom Hearts 3, people have actually started playing it now. They've gotten, a rather lengthy demo that has gone out to certain folks from certain big websites where they got to play the Toy Story World and Olympus Coliseum. Of course, that's two of the worlds that we've gotten to see. If they got to see anything that has not been revealed, they obviously didn't talk about it. But some of the things that have kind of come out from these demos is that, you know, Kingdom Hearts 1 had a lot more exploring. It had the platforming. Kingdom Hearts 2 kind of shut that down a little bit, and the worlds were a bit more segmented, and it was much more about you just battling. So they kind of tried to find a happy medium where you can explore more, but there's also, you can find it, kind of feel the scale of certain things, especially in the Toy Story world, because you're small. And you get to, you know, feel around how big Andy's room is and how big the arcade is that you go into eventually and all that. Of course, the Keyblades all have transformations that we've talked about before. The Toy Story hammer turns into a drill, and then they all have their own finishers that you can do that are timed at the end. It was thought, like, you know, Mark and I had talked about that perhaps this meant Wreck-It Ralph was the world in Kingdom Hearts 3. That's apparently not the case. Wreck-It Ralph is just a summon, and he comes out of that Fix-It Felix game as part of the summon. And so that made several people happy in our chat that we're not happy about.
Some of the worlds they've already just like shown off of that game are pretty, like, who cares to me? Olympic Coliseum, it's like, eh.
That's in all the games. Like, that's fine.
Yeah, but are they going to have a fucking Little Mermaid level too that always sucks?
They do?
Yeah.
No, they're, I think she's just a summon.
Good.
Yeah. Her, okay, Ariel, Wreck-It Ralph, and the Tangled Castle are the summons that we've seen so far.
I think I read the GameSpot preview, and I think the guy, the woman who, I don't know, I think it might have been a guy who was talking about it, was like, you don't really play with the Keyblade that much.
Well, that kind of stinks. Hopefully that's only certain parts or something like that.
No, but... it's not that. It's like just all the weapon switching and all like the finishers. It's like...
Oh, okay.
And that looks kind of like what I've seen from that game. Like the different weapons and... It's like you're throwing a lot of shit into this game.
Yeah, plus you still have
I'm not quite sure people necessarily need.
I agree with you. There's a lot in there. It also includes that flow motion thing from Dream Drop Distance, where you can like run up the walls and all that, which makes the attacking even crazier. So
it works so well in Dissidia.
Yeah, so well. You know, to the fact that I really don't hear anybody talk about that game at all. But
yeah.
I think once they reveal more worlds and stuff, and maybe perhaps reveal something about the story, because that's kind of been hush-hush so far, I totally expect that Square Enix conference has to have something that Sony is probably not.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Not getting at their press conference. Who knows? Maybe they reveal two worlds for all we know. One at the Square and one at Sony. It's still amazing to me that Microsoft is also getting Kingdom Hearts 3 and is not getting the other games at all. But totally understand they have to go from ground zero on that. So.
I mean, it's happened before with like Mass Effect 3 on the Wii U, or like Final Fantasy 13, really.
Yeah, Mass Effect 2 and 3 on the PS3, but they never got one.
Yeah,
I think until the collection.
Comic. Yeah.
So, you know, this is kind of.
Also, ultimately, I think it's probably a good business choice, because let's say they made Kingdom Hearts Collection for Xbox One, it wouldn't sell in Japan at all, and it likely wouldn't sell in America, because everyone who's a Kingdom Hearts fan already has a PS4.
Yep, that's very true.
Honestly, if they made it for the Switch, if I do better.
Well, for the Switch, I would buy that immediately, because you get to play with it anywhere, and you know, if they could figure out, I feel like Nintendo would figure out a way to make that like multiplayer on there or something. So
even the straight ports would be fine, probably.
Yeah.
I also disagree somewhat with your earlier statement about like Kingdom Hearts 1 about being exploration based. Like, it is, but also that was what the worst part of that game.
I liked being able to run around, and I'm not saying the platforming was great, I'm saying being able to run around and explore some of the worlds was nice.
I mean, like, it's a neat idea, but, like, getting around, like, Alice in Wonderland, or, like, what was the other one I'm thinking of? Like, the Jungle Book level?
The Jungle one.
That's terrible.
But it Tarzan. Did make the levels feel like they were bigger than they are.
It wasn't Jungle Book, it was Tarzan.
Yeah, Tarzan.
But that's just you get lost all the time. And you don't know where the hell to go.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'd say that that is also a factor. Like, I always had a guide playing those games, so...
Yeah, because you have to.
Yeah.
Because it's like, okay, hit this candle in Alice in Wonderland, and now the room is upside down, and what do I do now?
Yeah, or I had to figure out where exactly, when I'm jumping around the petals or the trees, what room am I going in to go to the next thing, and... The jungle, if you go the wrong way,
yeah,
you know, you can get completely lost there. So I feel you. Hollow Bastion was sort of the same way too at the end of the game. You could take the wrong bubble or the wrong elevator thing, and you could wind up in a totally different place than you need to go. We'll see how that shapes up.
I'm interested in Kingdom Hearts 3, but I don't like the fandom of Kingdom Hearts. That's my problem.
Why not?
It's a bunch of people who they remind me of Shenmue fans. Just completely crazed, and they have no sense of reality.
Well, those Shenmue fans are going to be upset because that game got delayed to 2019. Not that that's any surprise or whatever, but...
I mean, that game's getting delayed till 2020, I think.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it is. But people keep holding out. People are kind of crazy about their Kingdom Hearts, but to be fair, they've been waiting a long time for 3. So I kind of let some of that go.
That's my other problem, is Square Enix has jerked around people so much with this franchise.
Well, it's more like Nomura. I mean, there's a reason why he got Final Fantasy XV taken away from him, because if it was up to him, that game would have never been finished.
So, yeah.
I feel like somebody lit a fire under his butt to, like, hey, probably Disney, like, if this game doesn't come out soon, we're pulling it, or something. So... You know,
we don't have Disney Infinity anymore, so that's all we have left.
Yeah, that's true. It's very true. They don't have a lot left. So, and I mean, again, like there's so much like merchandise they can sell with that. There's so much that Disney gets out of that. Square Enix too. I mean, so their Final Fantasy characters, at least some of them show up, and I think they did show something that I think after Kingdom Hearts 1. It increased people wanting, like, Square Enix games for a while, yeah. So...
I guess my question is, do you think they ever go to... I mean, obviously, Star Wars and Marvel are out. But do you think they ever go to, like, Final Fantasy Land? Or, like, you know, Midgar, I should say, or, like...
Why do you think Marvel and Star Wars are out?
I mean, I would love it, but I just don't think considering how much, like... Marvel, maybe, but considering how much, like, Star Wars, that crap values, like, the canon of Star Wars, like, no.
Yeah, I don't know, like, Disney's been, I mean, they're making all these prequel movies or whatever, right? So, I don't put anything past them to want to do it.
I'm thinking, like, Battlefront 2, when that came out, like, Disney did a lot of them cosmetic items, because it would have... upset them, you know, you can't have a pink Darth Vader running around.
Yeah, I mean, they've always been that way, because people have always asked about, like, why can't I mix and match the guest characters, and why do the guest characters have to be in that world that you're in, and...
Yeah, even Infinity had that problem. It's like, right. You can only play Pirates level with Pirates characters, or stuff like that.
Which was so silly about Infinity, because it's like, that's the whole point of having all these damn, characters. There are all the little figures, you know?
I don't like playing them in a toy box. Doesn't really do it for me.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, because it's a Disney game with Square Enix's name on it. So, like, would Disney give Square Enix that... Like, I would think that they would take away a Hollow Bastion or a Traverse Town, one of them that's created... and not part of the Disney canon, and go, okay, you can make that a Square town, a Final Fantasy town, or something like that.
Well, that's what I was thinking, like Midgar, or...
Yeah. Whatever, I mean, cool, but I wonder if Disney would allow it, because all the worlds always have to have some kind of Disney tinge to it, or something, so...
Yeah.
It would be awesome if they did, but I don't know.
I mean, I doubt it, at least for this game, but who knows?
Yeah, maybe with the new set, now that they're not starring Sora and they can start all over, maybe then. But
yeah,
We'll see. I think it also depends on, you know, I mean, not that we have to worry about sales for this game, but I think it also depends on how crazy the sales are for this game. Going along with the Switch, Resident Evil 7 is coming to the Switch, but right now only in Japan. It's actually coming out this week in Japan, but it's going to be playable only in the cloud. And it will include all four of the DLC packs. And yeah, there's... It costs about like $18, I think, if you buy this like 180-day service pass. If you want to play past the trial period. And maybe it's one of those like E3 surprises or announcements from Nintendo. But playing a game only in the cloud.
I mean, that's what PlayStation Now is.
Hold on 1 second.
Sure.
So Resident Evil 7, but in the cloud.
I mean, that's what PlayStation Now is.
I know, but that's just like...
Also, that I don't think Resident Evil... I mean, I haven't played it, but I don't think Resident Evil 7 is like that action-based. Like, you're not shooting zombies in the head or anything. So, I mean, it may work.
I'm just wondering, like, does that make it to where you can have more graphically intense games? If you play it in the cloud and not on the system? I mean, I'm still trying to figure out why.
I mean, that's what that Steam Link thing is for, like, Android phones and iPhones. Like, you still have to have the computer to run it.
Yeah, I'm just like, but it just, I'm like, why can it just not run on the hardware? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, what plus do they get out of running it out of the cloud that...
Well, I mean, I would say it's a fairly demanding game, at least on, like, PC.
Right.
And also, like, maybe size is an issue.
Yeah, I can see the size thing.
Like, there are some games that have, you know, you need to download this multiplayer component or whatever, but that's, like, Resident Evil 7 is a big game.
Yeah, it probably is a size issue, which then makes it a graphical issue and all that. So, I mean, I guess it's cool if it runs well and you get to play it. I'm assuming it will get announced over here because it's sold so well for Capcom on PS4. I can't imagine they're not going to bring it over here on Switch, but...
Yeah.
I guess we'll see. Good move by Nintendo, though. I wonder if this means, like, some games that we thought couldn't come over here come to the Switch are possible if you just play it in the cloud.
I mean, the Switch is getting Doom, or got Doom and Wolfenstein 2. I would have never thought those games would come to Switch.
Well, Bethesda's making those work on there, but... Yeah, I mean, I wonder if that means you will get Monster Hunter on Switch, then. If they can make this work.
I imagine, well, the problem with that, I would imagine, is the online component would be an issue, because you're streaming the game and also, you know, joining up with three other players to run it. You know, run a hunt or something. So,
yeah, that's true.
Unless you have really good internet, I don't think that would work too well.
Yeah, especially with Nintendo, the price they're charging, I wonder how good the internet... I mean, it runs fine, free, so... I don't know how much better it's going to be once you start paying, if that actually means that they've reinforced the internet or if you're just paying for the internet and for the NES thing, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to work too well.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing once that drops. I'm sure people will be so enamored with Super Smash Brothers at that point that they may not care too much about the other stuff, but that's another one of those has to happen for us to be able to figure it out. Speaking of Mario Tennis, it's Mario Tennis Aces, I should say, getting a demo on Nintendo on the eShop on Thursday. So starting Thursday, you can play Mario Tennis Aces. I'll for sure be downloading that. I'm always big on the Mario sports games. There's a tournament going on June 1st to the 3rd as well that you can play online against others. You can also play the demo offline and play against the computer as well. So you don't have to be online to play. And you can also unlock other characters aside from Mario, Peach, Yoshi, and Bowser. So if you play the demo, there's actually a reason. So if you don't like the, you know, you want to play with some other characters in tennis, you can unlock them by playing away. And of course, the game comes out, what, on June 22nd, so it won't be too far after that. How do you feel about Mario Tennis?
I may give it a shot. Like, those Mario Tennis games are okay enough, and there's not really any good alternative.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, we do have the, oh, geez, there's a tennis game that, I think it's called Tennis World, yeah, Tennis World Tour comes out this tomorrow, actually. So
I think people, like, when tennis games are mentioned, people like virtual tennis, and that's about it.
I agree. Yeah, it's virtual tennis, Mario Tennis, and that's about as far as it goes. So, but
like, I wouldn't mind if Square, or not Square, Sony branched out with their Hot Shots like franchise and made like a tennis game, or made like, you know, a soccer game, or, you know, made some more, not arcade focused, but just more easy to approach games with their Hot Shots golf stuff, or everybody's golf, really.
It would be interesting if they did, though. I'm surprised they haven't by now. Especially tennis, because that seems to be the next iteration for most.
That horrible franchise, Outlaw Golf, and they also made Outlaw Volleyball, and I think one other one, and it's like, man, Stephen Colbert, you are in this game, and this is depressing me. Yeah, like, I think it was Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell were like the announcers for one of those games, and it's like, why? You guys are on the fucking Daily Show. Why are you lowering yourself to this shit?
For real, man.
Greg Proops doesn't have a job. He can do this, no problem. But you guys, no.
But, yeah, I mean, I'm all for this. Like, I think it's cool that Nintendo does this, where that you try out games, and especially one that maybe it's not on everybody's radar, but you can try it out, and maybe it will be by the time you finish.
Yeah.
I think this is an idea. You know, it's we've seen this more with having open betas for various games, so glad Nintendo, ever since ARMS, has really adopted this and said, hey, let's get our message out there. And perhaps the tournament will create a fervor for people to play Mario Tennis Aces. Also getting a reveal before E3, Battlefield 5. In a couple days, on Wednesday, you're going to get to hear all about Battlefield 5 after various teases from EA themselves and from Trevor Noah. It is officially going to be called Battlefield 5, and it is going to be set in the World War II setting. It is going to have a single-player mode, unlike the Call of Duty Black Ops 4, which they confirmed that this week. They confirmed the Battle Royale mode for that, too. But, yeah, I mean,
so, two things. The name is dumb. Or, the numbering is dumb, let's say that. And I'm completely disinterested in Call of Duty 4, or my Black Ops 4. They couldn't have turned me off less with that. You know, their little trailers and stuff.
Why do you say that?
Well, no single player is a big one, but also like they're aping the battle royale, battlegrounds thing. It's like, man, you guys are really desperate, aren't you? And also, like, it's not going to be sold on Steam. It's only through like the Blizzard.
Oh, Battle.net. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like,
well, don't you already use Battle.net for World of Warcraft and stuff?
I don't like to.
I guess since they assume that, I mean, it's also to get, you know, Blizzard a little bit more money. It helps Activision and Blizzard, that partnership. I guess why not use it, right?
Believe me, Blizzard has WoW and Hearthstone and Overwatch. They're doing fine.
Heroes of the Storm as well, because they're single-handedly helping. Well, one of the games that's helping collegiate esports continue to rise, so.
Yeah.
You know, I get it, and I also get why they.
Also, I really I think I saw some interview with one of the Black Ops 4 guys, and the tagline was like, forget what you know, or forget everything, or something like that.
Yeah, we're going to totally warp your mind.
This is called Black Ops 4. Like, if you're going to do that, call it something else. Call it Call of Duty, you know, Battleground or Blackout or something, you know, some other name.
Yeah. Well, they did have I think the introduction is called Blackout. So, you know, and I don't know how much difference you can make a Battle Royale mode. I mean, they all eventually play like each other.
I think the problem really is, for Call of Duty is server population size. Like, how many people can they get 100 players in a Call of Duty map?
We'll have to see on that, but you would think they could.
I don't know. I think the max has been 16 for Call of Duty games, maybe 32. But
maybe they're meaning for this to be a smaller version of the Battle Royale or something.
If that's the case, fine. Then people are not going to play it. They're just going to play Fortnite or PUBG.
Yeah, I think they're trying to just see if they can grab people with the craze and have the Call of Duty name slapped on it and see if that sells well. I love the dumb report that came out that only uses Xbox achievements, by the way, the lesser of the two consoles. I get it that the Xbox is, you know, usually the shooter's haven or whatever, but to only use what's been the inferior console the entire generation to base a report that only half the people ever finish the Call of Duty campaign is really stupid. Like, you're not even using Steam, for God's sakes. Like, I mean, I don't know. I just think that if that's what you're using to base why you're not doing a campaign anymore, that's really pathetic at that point to me. I'm sure they have other numbers, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I question how well this will do. At least on PC. I don't think they care about PC, honestly. Like, considering how shoddy some of the recent ports have been, that's quite evident, if anything.
No, they're totally banking on people just wanting to buy it on PS4.
Yeah. But, let's see. I'm trying to look it up right now. World War II currently has, it doesn't say, 646 people playing it.
Didn't they make that to where you can take that off now, where it's not mandatory that you show if you play something anymore?
Well, that's Steam Spy. I don't know if Steam Charts does the same thing or not.
Ah.
But, that's not a ton of people.
No, it's not. But, I mean, that game is also, seven or eight? I don't know how old. It's just pretty old at this point.
World War II came out last year.
I know, but I'm saying, there's usually a shelf life for that thing,
yeah.
Especially when you do have a PUBG and a Fortnite battling constantly for everybody's attention. So, not to mention the League of Legends and the Dotas and all that stuff. So, only so many multiplayer to go around. I think that's what the thing is. Call of Duty, they just want people putting them in the same breath.
Tell that to Cliffy B.
Yeah, exactly. Tell that to Cliffy D. He's out there putting out screenshots for the other games that never got released.
And it's like, wow, you should have made these instead of the crap you made in the first place.
Exactly. Be more original. That's what he kept talking about all the time when he made his company. He was like, oh, I'm going to change the way we do this. I'm not going to make a big thing about being at E3 and doing all this stuff. We're gonna change the game. And oh, no, we didn't change anything. So the game changed around you instead and ran you over. Speaking about being different, though, Devolver Digital, they had a press conference last year that was completely different than anything else that everybody else did. They are doing a press conference once again, and once again, they're tagging it right behind Bethesda's. They're having it really late at night, 11 p.m. Eastern. This one is going to have actual game reveals. Last year, they kind of had like one game that they sort of showed off, and then the rest of it was just a bunch of goof. I'd expect that as well, but
I think one of the people from Adult Swim was talking about like it's going to be like the Dave Lang Memorial.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Not Adult Swim, but Devolver Digital. They're like the Dave Lang Memorial Theater or something like that.
But that pretty much probably closes the book on the conferences now. So this leads it into it's a 4-day affair this year. It might have been that way that last year too, but EA is starting things off on Saturday at 2:00 Eastern. Then you get a triple, 2 days of triple conferences with Microsoft at 4 on Sunday, Bethesda at 9:30, and then Devolver at 11. Monday, Square Enix starts you off really early at 1 p.m. Eastern, Ubisoft at 4, and Sony at 9. On Monday in their usual slot, and then Nintendo takes their usual slot of like noon Eastern on Tuesday, and then the show floor opens right after that. So, we'll have videos and podcasts for all those, like we did last year, but they really stacked it this year with a lot, at least Square Enix getting into the game again. Thankfully, they pre-recorded it this year, so you don't have the debacle of a couple of years ago where it's a bunch of Japanese guys standing up there. The translators are like 2 sentences off, and it's terrible. So
I look forward to like half the demos being broken, like at Sony that one year.
Yeah, that was fun as well. We'll see how that goes, but it's gonna be. Of course, it's E3, so we'll see how many surprises there actually are, because you still got plenty of time for half the show to leak, as has happened in the past. That one thing we won't find out from the Microsoft press conference that they're letting out of the bag early, I don't know how much people would have cared about it, because it has nothing to do with the console itself, but Halo's getting an arcade game, and it's coming to Dave & Buster's near you in the U.S. and Canada pretty soon. It's called Halo Fireteam Raven. It's a 4-player cooperative arcade game. And basically you're in the role of ODST soldiers on the surface of Alpha Halo during the events of the first game. And you get to fight alongside Master Chief as they go after the Flood and the Covenant. So I don't expect the story to be anything out of this world or whatever, but I guess that's cool.
Have you gone to Dave & Buster's?
It's been a long time.
I've never. Like, they just have no games that interest me whatsoever.
I like going just to see what's there. I remember the last time I went, they had the Mario Kart game now.
Yeah, and the 8-player four-player one.
Yeah. I mean, and they had some other things that were based on newer games. But, it's like I said, it's been a long time, so I don't know, but...
I imagine, since we were talking about Wreck-It Ralph earlier, I imagine this Halo thing is going to be like that Hera's Duty thing from the arcade in that movie.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it will be. You might get to actually... So it's four-player. I don't know how they're going to do it with the guns. Normally, when you play a game like that, you're holding the gun and firing. If they can find a way to make it big enough to where it's... I guess you're holding all four of the assault rifles or something like that.
It says this thing's an 11-foot cabinet. That's not small. And a 130-inch monitor is...
Yeah, four turret mounted multipurpose machine guns. So,
like, a 130-inch monitor is the size of... I couldn't fit it in my room.
That's nuts. Well, Dave and Buster, get ready to...
That thing is 10 feet tall.
Yep. That's nuts.
So,
I kind of want to go play this now, but
I mean, it's gonna be like every other rail shooter or like gun shooter. Like,
I'm sure, but just to like be able to have the Halo name on it and play Halo at the arcade, I think is kind of a cool idea.
Someone should mod it so it plays the Terminator 2 arcade game instead. I'd play that.
Let's do that. I think it's a neat idea. I don't know that.
Sure.
I don't know how much money they're making off the licensing or whatever, but it's a neat idea.
I guess that's my question. Is like, let's say, is this just exclusive to Dave and Buster's, or is like they're just the ones getting it first? Because, like, how much would this thing be by itself?
It says select Dave and Buster's locations in the U.S. and Canada, and then it's coming out to more Dave and Buster's locations in the fall. So, I mean, it's not like, other than like GameWorks, if that's still around.
I don't think that is.
There's not a lot of arcade locations that are just out there. So
No. I mean, like, you know, people who just buy arcade machines. Like, let's say someone just wanted this in their house. You know, they had, you know, they were a millionaire or something. Could they?
I mean, I guess they could probably contact Microsoft people directly and figure out how they could do that, right? I mean,
yeah.
In more interesting Microsoft non-about the console news, they have finally officially revealed their controller that's kind of been leaked for at least a couple of weeks, if not more, their adaptive controller for people that have problems with mobility. I think this is like a neat idea. You can see we have a picture here in the dock of what it looks like. It's almost looks like a freaking...
Looks like a smaller DJ turntable thing.
Exactly. It looks like the thing from DJ Hero or...
Yeah.
Whatever.
But it has like a bunch of audio jacks on it in the back for like every single button.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can like plug in like a, you know, like switch or like some breathing tube or something like that and then go from there.
I mean, I think this is a neat idea for those people. Right.
Yeah, it's not meant for you or me, because we're obviously, well, you're able-bodied and I'm mostly. It's for people like who don't have control, like paraplegic or quadriplegic, something like that.
Yeah, like they partnered with the Able Gamers people, the Special Effects, the Cerebral Palsy Foundation, Craig Hospital, Warfighter Engage, which is known for making... they're, in fact, the people that actually sort of inspired this.
I think they also... I think Phil Spencer also said, like, oh, if someone else wants to use it, feel free. So it'd be nice if Sony came out with something like this, you know, in the same vein.
Yeah, I'm surprised Nintendo hasn't.
That's a lot of stuff, like, where Ben Heck gets some of his cred from. Is, like, he makes, like, disabled controllers. Or, you know, like, one-handed... PS4 controller, something like that.
Yeah, I guess with the Switch, because it's portable, it's less of a hassle. So, but yeah, I mean, I think $100 is kind of
maybe... Well, that's just for like the base model, like the basically the base of this thing. Like, if you want to get like oh, I need 20 tubes for up, down, left, right, you know, and all these buttons, that's going to go a lot more.
Yeah, where it may get you a little costly if you have... I mean, that's my own problem, is you're making this a little costly, and you've got people that perhaps are worried more about medical bills, and now they want this thing to be able to play their system, and they're having to shell out $150 or something for it, you know?
I could see, like, a hospital getting one, you know, like, right. You know, physical rehab, stuff like that.
Yeah, that could be an avenue for them. Hospitals or, you know, some kind of other thing, you know, something for kids, one of those.
Yeah. Yep.
I know you said you had no interest in Rage 2, but they officially revealed the gameplay and story details for the game. It's releasing in spring 2019. It is being made by Avalanche and id Software. Of course, they're the ones involved with Doom, the most recent Doom. It's an fully open world shooterverse. Apparently,
that... I hate that name. I'm surprised like Borderlands didn't come up with that one first.
I agree with you. Of course, if you've seen the trailer, it looks a lot like Mad Max, post-apocalyptic.
Oh, I imagine we got this open world map. We got this open world apocalyptic map. Let's just use this instead.
Exactly. A lot of big guns and being able to do a lot of different stuff and going to overdrive and all that. Apparently an asteroid annihilated 80% of the Earth's population.
And... Yeah, that happened in Rage 1. I mean, that one, like, you woke up from an arc and then you did your merry way.
There's, like, bloodthirsty gangs everywhere and... Yeah.
The only question I care about is will John Goodman be back in it?
I guess we'll find out during the Rage 2 showcase when it shows, you know, it's shown off with Bethesda. So, I mean, go them. At least we know one thing. We're already going to get, like, this is probably going to take up half their press conference. And then you'll get bored halfway through.
And I'll talk about Quake Champions again.
Yep. Are people playing that? I don't
know.
I don't know. I mean, there's those Quake diehards, I guess, that are, but...
They're all just playing, like, Quake 3 still.
Yeah. Oh, and Rage 2 won't include loot boxes, people, so be happy that they're not.
I think, like, just multiplayer online shooters, like, that in that vein are just dead.
Yeah, we'll see. But you're not wrong. Like, the Battle Royale thing has sort of taken all of multiplayer and just, that's what it is now.
Well, that, so, and then just, like, hero shooters, like, yeah. Like Overwatch.
That, too. It will have to get bored. Somebody will have to come on and make something totally different so that they get off that eventually.
But yeah.
Probably going to be a while. People seem to be really enamored with that. Right now, Ubisoft also delayed Skull and Bones, which isn't too surprising because we've heard, like, nothing about it for a while.
Yeah, they showed up that, like, one trailer, and that was kind of about it.
And now it's coming out till 2019, possibly 2020. Ubisoft Singapore just says that it's their biggest game yet, and they want to make sure that they're able to tell the right story and everything else. There was another game I think they got delayed till 2019, aside from Shenmue 3, and I can't remember right this minute. It might have been one of those that I thought I put down. I did not, but I'm sure there'll be many. Oh, Metro Exodus got delayed.
Exodus, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Metro Exodus got delayed, too.
So. That's a shame, but yeah.
That's another game that they kind of just, THQ Nordic has released quite a few things this year, and they just released, Battle Chasers Night War on Switch, like, last week. And they have not talked much about Metro Exodus at all. So then they just announced that it's getting delayed in their, during their financial thing. And it's like, okay, cool. People were looking forward to that, but I get it. You know,
they want. And they're making another, speaking of like that type of game, they're making another Stalker game.
I know there's people that we like that game, so, or like that franchise. So why not?
Yeah. Well, the why not is I think the studio went under, and like it's the it's like parts of it are making this again. I'm not quite sure the lineage, but it's really weird and complicated.
Agreed on that part. They may provide more information soon, but they got a lot on their plate at the moment. Getting into the movie and TV news for the rest of this, we might get a little bit of a sneak peek as to what's coming after Avengers. Marvel is going ahead and making a movie based on the Eternals. They already have sort of a script being written. Of course, this is based on the comic book made by Jack Kirby in 76. One of the characters can apparently, called Icarus, can manipulate cosmic energy, and Thena can, is telekinetic. They provided, you know, a comic book picture along with it, so.
I guess they can't make that Inhumans movie they kept talking about.
Good God. The less we got to talk about the Inhumans, the better. That show was awful. It pretty much, I think, as soon as it came out, it was canceled.
Yeah.
So they're like, yep. You just proved why we have been very kind of just keep delaying the movie and then turned it into a TV show because we really wanted nothing to do with it.
Speaking of that, do you follow S.H.I.E.L.D. at all or no?
I keep saying I'm going to try to go back and rewatch that, and then I don't. So
yeah, they had like their season finale like last Friday. I thought this last season sucked.
Didn't they sort of have their take on what happens after Infinity War on that episode?
No.
Oh, I thought that was the whole part of
it. It's like, but not really, because it's taking place before that, and it's just like, it's so, I don't even know.
It's so just kind of,
I just know it's coming back next year. Like
only 13 episodes, though, right?
Yeah, well, deep in the summer, so as to not even deal with Infinity War. Because by then it'll be wrapped up.
Yeah, that's probably just that, and also I think like the ratings have not been good for it, right? Like,
no, it's on a Friday night. What do you expect?
I agree, but the ratings were not that great when it was on during the week, too. Like, you know, it started dwindling after a while. Of course, that probably was, didn't the show like take a nosedive for a while, then it kind of came back when they added Ghost Rider, and then
yeah, it had periods of good and then periods of bad. So that's, I mean, it's an uneven show.
Hopefully they can figure something out so they'll have a lot of time to figure out the story and all that.
Oh, here's something you may like also. Next Monday, they're having two episodes of Lucifer on Fox.
Awesome. I heard because apparently Amazon might pick it up.
I guess we'll see the ratings.
Yeah, that's apparently Fox's official statement is ratings on Lucifer, but yeah, I don't know. Now there's news that apparently they have made a deal to get SmackDown from WWE.
So yeah.
And they've been canceling shows a lot to, I guess, maybe make room for it. I mean, it does help them, right? They don't have to, they can just have SmackDown and have the news. They don't even have to worry about making time on that day. Just, hey, you have a live show on Fox, and then you go right in the news. So I wonder if NBC would even entertain the idea of putting Raw on NBC then. But
no, because yeah. NBC isn't desperate.
Yeah, that's true too. I mean, they just went and grabbed Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but that also is, they kind of filmed that at their studios too. So
Well, I think they actually own it, technically. Also, people like Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah.
People don't like SmackDown.
People like SmackDown, but not as much as they like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So, I don't know. Look, Fox, I think Fox did the right thing, though. Like, don't overpay for the UFC when you really can't afford it. You're in a battle between now Comcast has come back into the picture and tried to offer more money than Disney. I really hope Comcast doesn't, because I want to see these Marvel movies get back to where they should be. But
also,
you know,
like, what is Comcast's goal? Like, are they going to make like a fucking NBC version of X-Men?
Like, yeah, I don't get that. Like, what does Fox have that you really want? Is it for the movie stuff? Like, do you want a piece of the, I guess you want a piece of the superhero pie or something? Like, I can see that point, but again, like, you're doing that, and there's, I don't know, obviously superheroes have shown that they don't seem to have a death point, because Deadpool just surpassed Avengers, but.
I guess another funny part of this is, I mean, this is a little off topic, but in the UK, there's a network called Sky TV, or Sky right. Network, I think,
mm-hmm.
and Fox has been trying to bid on it, or like Rupert Murdoch has been trying to bid on it, and he wants to own it.
Mm-hmm.
And Comcast like shut him down. Like Comcast is not making like a counter bid for it.
Well, now that I can understand, because they have rights to like the English soccer and all that that NBC already has rights to in the U.S. And if you have those two networks together, they can make a bigger sort of platform for that, and like other sports as well. You know, if they wanted to go that route, so.
Yeah, but Murdoch wants to own the network for, like, their news, you know,
right,
for, like,
exactly,
their news name, not for soccer or anything else. He just wants it to.
Well, they used to have a deal together, right, Fox and Sky, and then that kind of deteriorated, because.
Well, Fox kept trying to, like, get more of it, and then like, I think the UK regulator shut him down, like,
right.
No, you guys are assholes.
Yeah, and that's right around where the sale for Fox started, was when he was making that play, then all of a sudden the rumors started coming out that, like, oh, well, things aren't going too well at Fox.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that happened, so. Like, Comcast is really spreading that muscle. I don't know. It's going to be interesting if Disney doesn't wind up getting that over, I think it's like $8 million difference.
I think if it's that low, I think Disney would pony up for it.
I wonder, because Comcast did that originally, right? They had offered more money, and then Fox said, no, we'll take the Disney deal. And then Comcast came back in and was like, hey, what the hell? Like, we offered you more money. What are you doing? And they're trying to, I guess, lobby the FCC and all the people that make those decisions. Like, hello, we offered more money. What's wrong with this deal here? So, we'll see. But I have a feeling if that Time Warner and AT&T deal doesn't go through, how could they really justify making this one go through?
Yeah.
So this whole thing may just turn into nothing. But again, they have a whole year to figure that out until then. Thundercats is getting a new animated show on Cartoon Network, and it has made people get absolutely pissed off. I can understand, because the look of it is, if you don't watch Cartoon Network right now, which I don't, it's probably going to piss you off, because it looks like one of their shows that they have on right now called OK Go, and also sort of like Steven Universe as well, so.
I thought it looked like Teen Titans Go.
That as well, I guess,
like
but.
It's very kiddy friend, or kid-looking, like very exaggerated. Stuff like that.
And I think that's what's making people upset, is the people that are traditional Thundercats fans. I mean, to be fair, I did like that. I'm not a big Thundercats person, but like I did like the anime kind of thing that they had for a little while. But Cartoon Network kind of killed that thing.
Well, there's two sides of this. First of all, that anime thing was like 2011, and no one watched it. So you can't have fans now going, oh, this looks terrible. It's like, well, you didn't watch the show 7 years ago and look good.
Well, but be fair. Cartoon Network kind of let that thing, like, die and then brought it back. Didn't tell anybody that it was coming back. Brought it back on a different night. Didn't promote it. I mean, there's Blaine to be put on Cartoon Network as well. You know, it's sure. not both of them, or it's not just one side.
But also, so. Like, who the fuck cares about Thundercats?
Yeah, I know.
Like outside of like people who are 30, like me and you are approximately 30,
right?
Like even that show is too old for us. I mean, that came out in, like the '80s. Like
mid-80s. I remember it on Cartoon Network when I was a kid, like young, and yeah, then it kept being shown on Boomerang after that, and then I didn't.
Yeah, but those were like 10 or 15 year old reruns.
Right. Exactly.
It's the same. I don't know if you've seen, but they brought back Rocky and Bullwinkle, I think, on Amazon.
Oh, they did? Wow.
And it's like, who the fuck thought that this was a good idea?
Well, it's kind of like Netflix is bringing back She-Ra.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, there's an audience for it, but...
They're bringing it back, but we don't know how successful it's going to be. That's the thing.
Right. I don't know. I get it, the people that are upset, but, like, they're trying to make this appeal to the new people that watch cartoons now, the kids that watch it now. So, yeah. I don't think you can blame them for that.
No.
And if it doesn't work, then, you know what, Thundercats a dead franchise, and you don't bring it back anymore, and you can go back to reading your comics, or you're watching the old cartoons, and, you know, what, collecting action figures for them, and have fun with that, but... I think the people that are getting it obsessively mad about this is like, you've got to think about, they have to market this to today. If they don't.
Well, I agree with you in principle, but the counter to this is reboot the Guardian Code.
Yeah. Or reboot of reboot. Right.
No, that's what this is. Yeah, you haven't seen it.
No, I remember we talked about it. I have not watched it because I didn't watch Reboot, so I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's something special. There are, like, dozens, if not hundreds of videos on YouTube, like, after the series came out, of people that's blasting it. Going like, oh, it's an insult. I mean, it's true. Like, it's an insult to right. what the show was, but yeah. It's like, get a life.
God. One Punch Man... is coming back in the way you remember it. It's coming back on Viz Media. Of course, Viz Media owns it, which probably means it's not coming to like Crunchyroll or Funimation. You'll have to have Hulu to watch it because Hulu has a deal with Viz Media. If not, it may just be on like Viz Media's like website or something. So may have a lot of illegal streaming going on with that series. Going to be interesting how they handle that. Of course, a lot of people are waiting. I'm waiting for One Punch Man Season 2. I know a lot of other people are. So interesting, and it's going to have a different director and a different staff, than the last season. So
that always works out well.
Usually doesn't, but
yeah,
the show also has a lot of its detractors or whatever. So, we'll see. It's still really popular, and if they can make it work, then why not? I don't think we ever got to talk about the DC streaming service. Because it was old news by the time we did another show.
Yeah.
They still haven't revealed a price for it, but it has 5 series now that they're going to have on the service. The newest one's called is about Doom Patrol. It's going to have 13 episodes. It's also going to be included along with Young Justice getting a season 3.
That's Harley the one people Quinn. Care about.
Yeah, that's the... Harley Quinn, Swamp Thing, and Titans.
Yeah, Young Justice will be the good one of these 5.
You never know. DC usually does okay with... Are these... Now, these are going to be live action or they're going to be animated?
No, I think the only live action was Titans.
Okay, so the other 4 are animated?
Yeah, because they're not going to have like a Harley Quinn animated or real-life show.
I mean, they usually do pretty well with their animated shows. So, I give them the benefit of the doubt here. I'm still, if you're going to charge more than $10 for the service, I think you're crazy, but...
Yeah. I was actually watching some old Batman animated show, or animated series last night.
That was so good. That and Batman Beyond.
I can't wait until they're re-releasing Batman animated on Blu-ray this year.
Oh, they are?
That'll be really good.
So for people that don't know, so do you know anything about Doom Patrol? Or?
Not at all. You?
Not really, but I'm going to go off of this press release that they came out with for it. Apparently it has people that have suffered horrible accidents, and this led to them having superhuman abilities, and they're scarred and disfigured, and they have so many problems, and yeah, and apparently it also deals with the stuff that happens after Titans, so they go together in a way. I guess that's cool. So if you watch Titans, then you can watch this. It's like a band of superpowered freaks who fight for the world that wants nothing to do with them. All right. I'm guessing they're not that important. We've never really seen them talked about having a movie or anything. So,
well, these are like D-list hero, or, you know.
Yeah.
I look at this as like on par with like that Eternals movie. Like, who the fuck cares?
Or like the Runaways, which that show's apparently decent.
Well, Runaways is like a lot newer than this. I mean, Runaways is like at least is 10 years old. This has like 40 or 50.
Oh, really? Yeah. Then I mean, again, like, I think this is cool that, like, DC's using their streaming service to kind of bring people's awareness of, like, lesser known, like, I mean, not everybody knows who the Swamp Thing is. So, it's interesting. Of course, everybody knows who Harley Quinn is, but her getting her own series is also a kind of a thing why you have a streaming service. You can do things like this. So, hopefully for them, it works out. But do you think maybe it leads to, like, Disney? Oh, I don't know. Disney would need to, right? They could just have it all together. There'd be no reason to have a Marvel streaming service or anything like that.
That'll be my Disney thing.
Yeah.
I imagine if and when these Netflix deals run out for, like, Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, like, they'll just move to that thing if they can.
I'm sure. Whenever it is that those...
Or, like, they'll just make a whole bunch of new shows, like... There's a ton of Marvel heroes out there.
Yeah, like, they're making that Star Wars show. They can keep making... I wonder if they would consider pulling, like, the Marvel cartoon shows from Disney XD and just airing them on the streaming service or whatever. So,
and they could. I would... The one Marvel show or one Marvel license I'd love to see is X-Factor.
Oh, that's based off the Deadpool thing, right?
No, that's X-Force.
Oh, okay, that's... Okay, never mind.
X-Factor, like, the comic I liked was... It was multiple man running a detective agency with, like, filled with, like, everyone is a mutant.
You never know.
Yeah.
Could happen.
And they finally announced, like, the rest of the... there's a show, or a comic I like called The Boys, and they're making a TV show based on that, and they finally announced all the cast for that, and it looks good. Is it
live action, I guess?
Yeah, it'll be on Amazon Prime.
Well, there you go, Amazon, making some smart choices, it seems.
Carl Urban is the main character. Is going to be the main character.
Ooh, could be interesting then.
Yeah,
might have to give that a look. Really hope they pick up Lucifer at this point, because they'll have a damn good lineup if they get all that together. So let's. Moving on, though, Zombieland 2, which I really enjoyed the first Zombieland. Good God, it's been 10 years since that movie came out. Oh, I feel really old. Like,
yeah, I don't think that little girl is so little anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh God, it wasn't that long. Woody Harrelson's not that young either. So, yeah, October 2019, we could get the second film. I'm all about that. I really like the first movie, so more Zombieland. I'm down with that.
Who would you like to see in the celebrity cameo?
I can't think right now on that one, but
I'd go Michael Shannon.
That's, yeah, that would work. I'm just excited the movie's coming because I feel like it's been a while. We keep hearing about them making a sequel.
They kept talking about making a TV show also, which always fell through because that always does. It's like,
Because I think it was right on the fringe of when TV started hitting that golden era again, and it was going to be hard to get all those actors to be in that.
Well, they're talking about making a Snowpiercer TV show, which sounds bad. And there was talk that it thankfully went away, but they were going to make a TV show based on 2012, that horrible John Cusack movie.
Oh, God.
And it's like, who thought this was a good idea?
No.
And whoever did should be shot.
Yeah, really. Ah, thankfully that didn't happen. But yeah, this is one of those good things of... We've waited a while long enough for that to come out and feel fresh again. So that is a positive for Zombieland 2. Glad that they're getting all the cast back. And we'll see how that works out. Now, that report came out from the New York Times that apparently network TV isn't having problems getting younger audiences. This is, of course, CBS, ABC, NBC, Fox. CW doesn't quite have that problem. They never really have, but
I mean, CW caters to younger audiences,
right?
And also, like what shows would you watch on CBS?
I watched Elementary for a while, and then I kind of got tired of it. I tried to keep up with Young Sheldon as much as I could because I like Big Bang Theory.
You're a bad person.
That's kind of it, though.
I didn't know that about you, but now you're a bad person.
Damn. But that's kind of it. I don't like CSI. I don't like all that junk. So.
Or NCIS. I mean, if you think about the show, think about, like, Modern Family or, like, what's the biggest show on, like, network TV? Probably Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, Big Bang Theory, Modern Family, Grey's Anatomy still been going on. This Is Us is a big one. I wish I watched that too. You know, just
I mean, compare those shows just on a quality level compared to like Westworld or Legion or Game of Thrones. Like, there's no contest. Like, no wonder getting blown out of the water.
Well, I think they're not even including like the HBOs and FXs in here. They're just saying that they're getting beat out by Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu, which also, if you include that, I mean, Netflix is obviously trying to just destroy everything by making like 1,000 series in a year. But like even Hulu with like Handmaid's Tale and several other shows that they've come out with on their original, I mean, they kept Mindy Project alive. They've kept other shows.
Man in the High Castle.
It's just they have shows that people are the younger audience is interested in. Amazon as well. I mean, Netflix just kind of has something for everybody, so you really can't go wrong there. But looking at which some of these surprise me just because like The Good Doctor doesn't seem like a show that like a 60-year-old would watch, but that's almost the median age of that show.
That doesn't surprise me at all because it's a medical drama about, you know, hopeful. You know, it's not a sad show. It's a hopeful show.
Yeah, like House was a lot more sad.
Yeah, it's not realistic per se. It's a heightened realism. So.
Yeah, Young Sheldon is surprising because of the popularity of Big Bang Theory, The Voice, all those like, you know, American Idols, whatever, that's older crowd watching that. 911 as well because it has to do with the police and all that, which Grey's Anatomy also because it's kind of, I think at first Grey's Anatomy was sort of a thing that like younger audiences could actually watch, and then as the years have gone on, it's just like,
They've gotten older.
Yeah, I think the people that keep watching it are the ones that have kind of stuck with it. I don't ever hear of somebody going, oh, I need to watch Grey's Anatomy from like season one right now. Like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
Roseanne, obviously. You know, Will and Grace, obviously, they're remakes. This Is Us is the total, like, white person, old. I mean, it also appeals to a younger crowd. Like, I know a lot of people around our age and even younger that watch This Is Us, because it does have younger actors in it. But still, like, it's one of those, like, Modern Family, all that, that kind of just appeals to everybody. So,
yeah, that's the one with Sterling K. Brown, right?
Is that who the? It's the one.
I don't know.
This Is Us is the one that has Mandy Moore and Mila Ventimiglia.
Okay, yeah, it does have Sterling K. Brown. That's all. Yeah. That's the only thing I know about it.
You know, Empire, that does appeal to younger audience because of the crowd that it draws. It's obviously, you know, more towards an African American audience, but I watch it. It's kind of, yeah, I really like, what's her name? The main actress. She's
Taraji P. Henson.
Yeah,
I think,
yes. Taraji P. Henson. And, he was an Iron Man. Howard or whatever. Yeah.
Terrence Howard. Yeah.
Both of them are great. So they carry that show really well.
I don't watch it. I just know it has Android Royo in it, and that's okay in my book.
Yeah. Then all the kids, like all the kids that rap and everything else in it are really good. So, and I'm not a hip hop aficionado at all. Just thought it's interesting. Of course, Riverdale is the youngest median show of everything on the network, which makes sense. It's on CW. It's very. I haven't watched it, but it's.
I have season. I watched season one at least.
Is it like Twilight-esque? You'd say
no. It's actually good.
Okay, it's actually good. Okay.
Not teenage, but like all the 20-year-old actors are pretty good. It's very Arch, or like very soap opera.
Well, it's based on the Archie comics, right?
Yeah, but barely at this point. Yeah. Like I don't remember like a serial killer in, you know, Archie comics.
Right. Well, yeah.
I don't remember like Betty donning a black wig and like a sexy bathing suit and trying to like seduce this guy.
Yeah. So you know, my point was in bringing this. Go ahead.
Well, I think the thing is like I don't think, I mean, I think like you have a 4 or 5 year old daughter.
It's 7, but yeah.
Okay. Like, I think TV is being, like, anachronistic or slowly becoming that way because too much stuff to watch. Like, if you said to your daughter, like, we're going to watch this show every night every Tuesday at 8 p.m. and it'll be, mm-hmm. like, this one show we watch. She'd just be like, why? Like, why isn't this on my phone?
Yeah, I can watch whatever I want whenever I want, right?
Yeah. And then also... I think there's just too much variety out there. I mean, MASH got like a, you know, 15 million people watching like the finale because that was the only fucking thing back on back then. Like, what do you expect?
Yeah, like what, a Cobra Kai just broke the record for YouTube Red now that there was ever like some great shows to watch on YouTube Red before Cobra Kai, but
it's like, yeah, what do you expect? It's the only show people remotely would care about on that thing.
But still, like, you know, Hulu keeps. You know, Hulu just, I think they were the first network, right, of the streaming services to win something with Handmaid's Tale. So, you know, and Netflix has been doing it for a while. You have so many different shows that it's like just Netflix alone. You can watch that and watch it whenever you want. You can binge watch and then you can go to the next Netflix original show that you like. And now they've gotten into anime themselves. So they're starting to own that sector. You know, you've got Amazon that's getting into that as well. You know, that doesn't even include the CW shows that also provide something different that, you know, they're into the superhero thing that, you know, used to you could only get in the movies. So I think you've got, like you said, so much variety. It doesn't, the you know, being able to get anything online that you want as well also hurts these people. But I think, also, it's not just variety. It's like what you see on network television is a lot of the same thing. over and over, or you're getting a bunch of remakes. Like, okay, look, we got Will and Grace from Roseanne, and they're doing great, right? Well, okay, let's do this again this season. What are we getting? A remake of Magnum P.I., a remake of Murphy Brown.
They're bringing back Mad About You.
Yeah, remake of Mad About You, remake of Charmed. The Titan Games, which is hosted by The Rock, which I'm sure that might do fine, but it's almost like, you know, American Gladiators again. And, like, they actually greenlit that 90s sequel to The Goldbergs that I thought they weren't going to.
Wow.
It's, they called it Schooled, and it's going to have the lesser characters in it. It's not even going to have the main characters.
Yeah, because they're old, or they're older at this point.
Yeah, so... You know, it has the, you know, the PE coach and the, like, the counselor black guy. And I'm guessing it's going to go off of that one pilot. But, yeah, I mean, it just, and then you go through, and I think the IGN had, like, all the 32 new shows that were coming. And, like, I don't know how many of them were almost identical to each other. How many of them were like crime shows or something based in a hospital or whatever? And it's like, no wonder AMC and all these other cable networks are kicking your ass, because they're not all the same. You know, you got to have the ability to go out there and do something different.
I mean, I know you don't watch it, but if you compare like the first episode of The Flash to like the first episode of Legion, they're not even the same ballpark whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, you're not kidding. So,
I mean, The Flash is just, even the problems I have with like the current seasons, it's just an extremely formulaic show. And Legion is not.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the problem here is you want to get a younger audience, you got to appeal to that younger audience. But yeah, I think the last thing we had to talk about is the breadth of games coming out this week. I was wrong. They did. I don't know why. What I was looking at had Detroit Becoming Human coming out last week. It is coming out on Friday, along with Dark Souls Remastered, which people have been waiting for on every system but the Switch version, which obviously everybody knows it's been delayed by this point. Stardew Valley is now coming out on the Vita tomorrow. So if you, for some reason, have a Vita and you've been waiting forever to play Stardew Valley, I guess you could pick that up. The latest Devolver Digital game, I Hate Running Backwards, is out tomorrow as well. It's a infinite runner that also lets you shoot things while you're running. State of Decay 2 comes out tomorrow as well. Of course, that's the latest you know, Xbox One exclusive that you can also just pay $10 in Game Pass for and play.
Good luck if you play it too.
Yeah.
The reviews have not been kind to that game.
I have noticed that is not good for Microsoft. They just can't win one this year at all. A Mega Man Legacy Collection coming out for the Switch. And H1Z1 is getting the open beta on PS4. Tennis World Tour comes out tomorrow as well. Runner 3 comes out as well. Pixel Junk Monsters 2 comes out on Friday. Lots of games coming out. That Dylan's Rolling Western The Dead Heat Breakers also comes out on Thursday. So
all the big hits.
Yeah, lots of different games. I do like it when you have an eclectic...
That Bloodstained Curse of the Moon game is supposed to be at the 24th.
Oh, really? It's not listed here. Maybe it's because it was just... wasn't too long ago. It was announced, right?
Yeah. It was announced like 2 weeks ago.
Well, there you go. Another one to put on the list here. So
that's one I'm getting, so I'm happy. I'm going to give that a shot for sure.
Sweet. Yeah, and then, you know, they'll probably take another lull here in a little bit because of E3 and all that, but... yeah, so until next week, people, enjoy your games, and we'll be back then.
Later.